Welcome to Speaking of Grace, the weekly message podcast from the Whole Life Church in Orlando, Florida. We're a multi-ethnic, multicultural, and multi-generational congregation committed to our mission of loving people into a lifelong friendship with God. We are committed to our vision of being a church without walls, fully engaged in serving the people of our community. Thank you for joining us as we continue Speaking of Grace.
Well, hello there, family. How are y'all feeling today? I'm exhausted. Am I allowed to say that? I'm exhausted. This last week we had vacation Bible school. Do you know what almost 200 kids in one place? Yeah? A couple of you do, because I saw you here this week. Yeah. Ellie, I can't imagine how you're feeling as director. I know how much time you poured into it, so I can only imagine how exhausted. But I'm tired. I can tell you, I've worked a few jobs in my life, and absolutely beyond a shadow of a doubt, the most stressful job I have ever had was not being the senior pastor of a large church or a small church. It wasn't working in television news as a reporter anchor, and I literally had my life threatened a couple times. That wasn't stressful compared to being a summer camp director. I ran for five summers. I ran Indian Creek Camp up in Tennessee, and absolutely hands down the most stressful thing I think I have ever done in my life. Absolutely, I tell you that because today's sermon is tying into our vacation Bible school that we had chosen that we're doing today, and we are doing a sermon series called The Chosen, based off of the series, the multi-season series, The Chosen, that tells the story of Jesus' life. And the episode that we're doing today is episode 3, season 1. And it's called Jesus Loves the Little Children. And given how exhausting children are, I have to ask why. Oh, I know. Some of you got really uncomfortable. Christina was looking at me and she's like just shaking her head at me because she loves kids. And she's like, can't say that. Ellie's the same, my wife. But seriously, why does Jesus love the little children? It's like, I know, I'm the guy that asks the weird questions. I can't help myself. It's always been the way I've been. But why? Why does Jesus love the little children? I understand why Jesus loves adults. We can do something, right? Like, we can pay tithe and give offering, right? So that's Jesus loves the adults, and we can go and be missionaries, and we can do things, right? But children just consume resources. They suck your energy out of you. Some people here are like, man, I came to the wrong church today. They cost you tons of money, right, Kyla, Eric, yeah? Yeah? Just saying, they cost lots of money. And what do they really give back? What do they really give back? Can we be honest here for a second? Some of you are like tenderhearted. They give you love. But is that enough? I'm just saying what some of you have been thinking, okay? You're just not stupid enough to say it in front of TVs that are recording you, right? But why does Jesus love the little children? In all seriousness, why? Why does anybody love someone that can't really do anything for them? Could it be that's the essence of who God is? The essence of God is to love that which really can't do anything to make life better outside of being. And I love this episode of The Chosen because Jesus does love the little children. And when you watch this episode, you know it. You know it. This episode is not based off of a story in the Gospels, a specific story. It's the producers and the writers coming up with holy imagination, this scenario that feels very authentic and like it could have happened to me. And just to kind of set this episode up for you, Jesus has set up a little campsite outside of a town. And he is doing some carpentry work in the town. He's beginning his ministry. He's kind of starting to call some of his disciples. But he's camped by himself outside of town. And this little girl, Abigail, goes outside to play. And she happens across Jesus' campsite. She finds it. And she's being smart because, kids, one of the things we want to be careful about is if you don't know somebody, you ought to be careful, right? And so she's smart that way. She doesn't just go up and meet Jesus. She goes and gets her friend Joshua. And then the two of them meet Jesus. They meet Jesus. And before you know it, Abigail and Joshua have the entire neighborhood of kids visiting Jesus and hanging out with Jesus. And it's important for us to remember that not only does Jesus love the little children, but the little children love Jesus. I'm always suspicious of people that kids don't like because they have a pretty good sense. Children have an instinct that God's put into them for people. And so it's this beautiful thing where the children love Jesus and they're hanging out with Jesus and Jesus is talking to them. And you know, one of the things that, did any of you have your kids go through the why stage of things? They just keep asking questions and questions and that, you know, you answer the question and they say, but why? But why? And so the kids are asking Jesus questions and Jesus doesn't get tired of those questions. Jesus appreciates those questions. And so the clip that I want to show you from this is Abigail asking Jesus maybe the most important question and maybe one that we should be asking Jesus,
being here.
I still don't understand. What is your reason for being here?
I'm telling you this because even though you are children and the elders in your life have lived longer, many times adults need the faith of children. And if you hold on to this faith really tightly, someday soon, you will understand all of what I am saying to you. But you ask an important question, Abigail. What is my reason for being here? And the answer is for all of you. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.
Isaiah,
I have loved spending this time with you. You are all so very special. And I hope that my next students ask the same questions you do and that they listen to my answers. But I suspect they do not have the understanding you do. And I hope that when the time comes, they will tell others about me like you have.
I just love that. So why did Jesus come? I think the writers really hit the nail on the head. Isaiah 61, Jesus quotes, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. The Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim to captives will be released and prisoners will be freed. He sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come." Why did Jesus come? Well, I don't know about you, but I've had VIPs show up at different places that I was at. And usually when a VIP shows up, a celebrity, a well-known politician, they come expecting something out of the people that they're coming to. Maybe they want adulation. Maybe they want money. They're fundraising. Maybe they are whatever, but generally they want something from you. And the beautiful thing about Jesus is, what did Jesus come to accomplish? He came to do for us. He just didn't just come to do for us. He came to do for the least of these. That's who you see up on the screen behind me. These are the people that are the most vulnerable. These are the people who are the most vulnerable in our society. And Jesus said, I came for those people. I came for all of you, really. And that's the thing about children, is that children are vulnerable, aren't they? They're easy to exploit. And Jesus came to care about the most vulnerable, the people who need him the most. And the fact of the matter is that Jesus wishes that we'd all be like little children in acknowledging that we're all vulnerable. We all have need. And the difference between children and us sometimes is that children are willing to ask for help. They're willing to admit that they have a need. They're willing to come and say, hey, can you please help me? I don't know how to do this. In fact, sometimes children will say, oh, I can do this on my own. I got this. But the second that they get into trouble, they're coming back to mom and dad. They're coming back to the people that love them and saying, hey, help me. I need help. Jesus loves the little children because the little children know that they need him. And we need to know that too. Jesus loves the little children not because they can add or do something, but simply because love flows out of his heart for all of us. Jesus called a little child to him and put that child among them. He said, I tell you the truth, unless you turn from your sins and become like little children, you'll never get into the kingdom of heaven. So anyone who becomes as humble as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And anyone who welcomes a little child like this one on my behalf is welcoming me. How important are children in the Christian faith? They're incredibly important. When we look at children, we learn about the attitudes that God wants us to have towards him. They teach us how to be humble, how to be willing to admit that we have need. They also give us opportunities. They give us the opportunity to welcome Jesus every time we welcome one of them. Did you catch that? Anyone who welcomes a little child on my behalf is welcoming me. The disciples didn't get that. In the book of Luke, chapter 16, they tried to keep some children away from Jesus that were coming to Jesus. And Jesus was having none of that. I wonder how life would be different if we recognized that children are not an interruption, but they're important. Jesus didn't view those little children as interrupting his ministry, where he stepped away from his ministry for a minute to do them a favor. But rather, Jesus saw those children as his ministry. That's why a whole life we do vacation Bible school. It's like why we have programs for children. It's why we're always thinking of better ways to work with children. It's why we have Pathfinders, Adventures. We have a youth program. It's why we invest in this. But I want to suggest to you, for me, that's not enough. It's not enough to just do those things. Because a lot of times when we invest, we're investing in my child, right? We're like, well, yeah, of course I'm going to invest in my child because it benefits my family that way. Maybe we're a little bit more altruistic and we say, well, no, I want to go ahead and benefit the community that I live in. I want to go ahead and make sure the kids in Orlando are taken care of. So we'd love to have those kids in. But you know what? There's a benefit for us to doing that, isn't there, sometimes? There's a benefit in that, oh, well, you know, if we take care of those kids, maybe those families start becoming a part of the whole life family. And maybe there's, you know, benefits to us in that. I want you to know that Jesus looks past for what people can do for him. And the real test of a just and kind and loving church congregation and community is not what they do for those who can benefit them, but what they do for those who have no hope of ever benefiting them. It's important for us to remember that Jesus didn't just come for those who had. He came for those who didn't have. The final clip that I want to show you from The Chosen is a clip of Abigail coming into Jesus' camp after he's left. He's moved on to his next place. And earlier on, when Abigail first met Jesus, she was asking him a bunch of questions about what he did and all this sort of thing. And Jesus said, well, you know, I do some carpentry work. I do this, I do that. And, you know, part of the carpentry work that I do is I make toys for children. And Abigail's face kind of falls. She goes, oh, my family can't afford that. Check out this.
Abigail, I know you can read. You are very special. This is for you. I did not come only for the wealthy.
Don't you love that picture of Jesus? He left her a gift that her family could never afford to give her. Why? Because I didn't just come for the wealthy. And it wasn't just the message of the good news of the gospel. It was something tangible and physical in her life that he gave to her. Something that made a difference to her happiness in that moment, her joy in that moment. Family, what do we do for the least of these? Well, I'm proud to tell you that of one of the things I love about Whole Life. When I first got here, one of the first big events that we had was a partnership with World Vision, where we came together and said, we want to go ahead and help some kids in another part of the world, kids that are never going to come to Whole Life, probably. Kids that are not going to be able to do anything to make Whole Life have more money, more people attending, whatever metrics you want to use for whatever a successful church you want to say looks like. These kids, they're not going to be able to do anything for us. Yeah, well, we may get some joy out of letters that they write back to us, but really in the end, we're going to go ahead and invest in kids who can't do anything back for us. Why? Because we want to be like Jesus. We want to love the little children. And so 2 years ago, we partnered with World Vision, and we had a chosen event. And this is different than a lot of things that you may see. You know, and a lot of times when you sponsor a child in another country, you pick the child. There's like pictures, right? And you go, oh, I think I want to sponsor this child. But one of the things I love about World Vision is they're always thinking, how can we go ahead and give the most dignity, the most respect to the communities that we're working in? And so what they've done is they've reversed things. You decide whether you want to be a sponsor or not. That's what we did 2 years ago. You got to decide. And over 120 of you decided you wanted to be a sponsor. And what we did is we sent those pictures down to a little town called Aguacatan in Guatemala, and they had a choosing party. And the kids saw your pictures lined up, and they chose who they wanted to be their sponsor. And then they took a picture with you, with your picture, and we brought it back the next Sabbath. And you got to open up an envelope and see the child that chose you holding your picture, and they wrote a note telling you why they chose you. Isn't that cool? I want to thank you for that, because over the last 2 years while we've been sponsoring, my math is not great. World Vision probably has better math, and I didn't want to put them on the spot and ask. But I timesed out what about $39 times 120 kids times 24 months is. And I came out with a figure that was over $100,000. Whole Life has invested over $100,000 into a community in Guatemala, and I couldn't be more happy about it. It's tempting to say, oh, well, could we use that money here at home? Sure, we could. But you know what? I think that's a scarcity mindset. That's the idea that there's not enough resources to be a blessing everywhere. And after all, God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. So all he has to do is sell a cow every now and then to take care of all the needs that are out there. And so I am super proud of what this church has done. And so we've asked World Vision to come back and give us an update. And so I'd like to show you this video and call up my friend while that video is playing. No, that's exactly right. Yeah.
Thank you.
So Bernie Anderson is works for World Vision, but more than working for World Vision, he's a whole life family member. He attends church here with us, and we are so happy,
first
Bernie.
First service. I come to the first service.
You attend first. Oh, yeah. If you don't recognize him, it's because I always forget. I see you guys. Yeah. So he attends at first service. So second service, he may be new to you. But no. We're so happy, Bernie, that you're here. And what I would like for you to do is just share a little bit about what difference the sponsorships from Whole Life have made in Guatemala, and maybe a little bit about the philosophy of World Vision and what you're trying to do in the world and how it's making a difference.
Awesome. Well, first of all, huge thank you, Whole Life Church. Thank you. Amen. It's pretty powerful, and I'm blessed to have the opportunity to do this. They pay me to do what I get to do, and that's to serve vulnerable kids around the world. For about 25 years, I was a pastor, though, pastor in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. So I did what Ken does right now, and I loved it, but I'm grateful for the calling to serve vulnerable kids in this way. But it's really meaningful to do it with the church that I love and to follow a pastor and a leader that I love and who actually really does love children a lot. He really does. He cares about them. They don't just consume resources. They are valuable human beings.
But they do consume
resources. They do consume resources. All right. So,
but we're glad.
We're glad. But at World Vision, we talk about how we want to disrupt the false narrative that says that if you have less, you are less. And sadly, that is a reality in our culture and in our world, that often if you have less, you're seen as being less. And when that comes to children, we absolutely want to just get rid of that false narrative. We want to tear that down. We want to, you know, eliminate that from the way that we do life in this world. And instead, we want to affirm the inherent dignity of every single child and every single family. That every single child, whether they're poor or they're well off, their families have means or don't have means, or these children especially, in some of the most vulnerable parts of the world, that they are just as much an image bearer of God as you and I. There's no question about that. And then the big part of what we do as well, after we affirm inherent dignity and after we dismantle that false narrative, we want to come alongside of these communities. We want to begin to work together in partnership with the community and in partnership with this community, this church, and reverse the broken circumstances. We want to empower children. We want to empower the families and the communities that we partner with, because we want to be with them as they lift, and we want to lift together, right? We want to serve together. We're not coming over to take over and tell people what to do. And we want to be a part of seeing that community grow and become all that God intends it to see every child there fulfill their God-given potential. And so World Vision is actually only there for about 15 to 18 years. And we've come in and we establish friendships and connections and relationships with the community. And then we graduate and move on to another community that is in need. And so you're going to hear just a little bit about some the specific communities that we work in, that Whole Life is partnered with, and that we're going to invite you to continue to do work there, but also invite some of you who weren't here 2 years ago, or even if you were, to do even more in a new community. But that's who we are at World Vision. That's our heart. It's all infused by this love of the gospel and what we believe Jesus calls us to do in that space. So, yeah.
I really appreciate World Vision. Rochelle and I and our kids have been with, we've sponsored a child from World Vision since 2010. We've actually seen one child graduate and had another child. And then we came here to Whole Life. And when we had that chosen event, we decided, you know what, we want to take on, we've had one child, And when we took on that one child, I remember thinking, I don't know how I'm going to afford $40 a month for this, because Rochelle was a stay-at-home mom at the time, and I was the only one working. And I just thought, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and we're going to go out in faith. We want to teach our kids that the world is bigger than the food that we're trying to put on our table and the things that we want. Mm. And so we went out in faith and did it. And so again, this last time around, when we did this 2 years ago, we said, you know what, let's go ahead and expand. Rochelle is working now, and she was working before at the kids. So please don't let me take that away. That was hard work. We thought, let's go ahead and let's have each one of the kids take a child and use some of the money that they earned to pay for that child. And then we want to take on a child. So we have four kids right now. One of the kids actually just immigrated to the United States. So Eric re-upped. He actually took a picture out in the lobby in between services, because he's going to be have another child choose him this Beautiful. Next time around. So, so for us, this is a big deal. We really think it matters. This is our child, Gaspar. He's in Guatemala, and one of the things we're really super excited about is Bernie that we're actually going, last time this happened, COVID was still kind of a big thing. And so World Vision likes to send pastors down to see what you guys are doing so that we can see what's happening, but also to be there to see our church members getting chosen. So this time on Monday, I'm flying down to Guatemala, and I am going to actually, for those who actually sign up for a child or another child today or multiple children, I'm going to actually be at the choosing party. We're throwing a big party down there, and I'm going to be at that choosing party, and I'm going to get to actually watch these kids choose you. And so I'm super excited about that, and looking forward to that. So, Bernie, as we're kind of talking to people, what do they need to know about what do they need to know if they're thinking about being a sponsor?
Yeah, well, it's the heart. In kind of the heart and soul of the work that we do, we operate on a model that says that we want to benefit every child and see them find life's fulfillment, right? We want to see them pursue God. We want to see them reach their fullest potential. And one of the ways that we do that, the most powerful way that we do that, is we do child-focused, community-based development work all over the globe. And so we pool all the resources that we have or that come in through child sponsorship. So Whole Life Church sponsors a lot of children in Guatemala in this particular community called Agua Catan. Well, there are other churches around the country that also sponsor children in Agua Catan. So your dollars are pooled with their dollars, and together we lift that community up, all for the sake of vulnerable children and their families in that community. So it's a really powerful model. So all the children are served, all the families are served, and there's so much that gets done because we pool those resources. It extends those resources and so forth. And what Ken was speaking of is this chosen model, where there's a choosing party where these empowered kids, when you step out into the lobby, and I'm praying that a bunch of you will step out into the lobby today after services, and you have your photo taken, and you sign on, you said, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know who's going to choose me or if I'll even be chosen. I promise you will be chosen. But I want a child to be empowered. I want a child to know that they matter. I want to give them choice, because children who live in extreme poverty never have choice, y'all. You and I, we can decide what kind of drink we want at Starbucks in 50 million different ways, right? Well, children that live in poverty don't. They're just kind of taking life as it comes to it. But through Chosen, you hand power to. You empower a child. And that brings life, man. That brings incredible life. So that's our model. We empower communities. We, like I said, we walk away after a certain amount of time. And the children, we believe, we address the root causes of poverty. We work to reverse those, again, working in partnership. And we do vision trips. Get this. We do vision trips with pastors, with other church leaders at times, but with pastors. And we just decided that it's important for us to not only have a pastor go, but also their spouse go. So not only will Pastor Ken be there, but Rochelle will be there as well. And I got to call out your daughter. What's her name?
Kyla.
I was here at the church office. Pastor Ken and I were getting ready for Sabbath. And he was you were talking about your sponsored children and everything. And you said, Kyla, what's your sponsored child's name? And without hesitation, she knew her child's name. And that is powerful right there. Because the big piece to this, y'all, are the relationships that are happening. One of the things we learned about poverty is that at the root cause of poverty is broken relationships. So what we're doing is reconciling to one another, which is all biblical, and then we're reconciling to God as well. And so these relationships, it's not just, I know $39 a month, and most of you could go and dig through your car seats right now under the French fries and stuff under the seat, and you could find $39 and change, all right? That's just how well off we are. It's just the truth, right? And so that's not a big deal. But what's really a big deal, it'll matter. It does matter. You got to have the resources. But what's really cool is when you get to see a letter from a child and you get to kind of read the translated letter that comes back to you, and you get the, maybe they shoot a little video, right? And they send it to you. You can pull it up on the app. And the relationships are powerful. My wife and I sponsor 4 children, and we get videos. We have a child in Zambia. His name is Lumino, 17-year-old kid. And he sent us a video of him on his bike the other day. It's like, yes, that's awesome. But it's just the relationships. It's the connection.
And yeah. World Vision makes it really easy. On their website, there's an app. You can send emails really easily back and forth. You can get them. Saying what you said, I told you that one of our kids graduated out of the program in another country in the world. And one of the cool things was to hear her as she's graduating say, I'm going to go to university.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think that was probably on the horizon before World Vision came in.
Right.
And so to see that, to hear her want to be a teacher, that was really powerful stuff. So if you're interested in being a part of this, I just want to note that there's a QR code up on the screen that you can go ahead and scan. It's super easy. They just ask for your address. They ask for how many kids you want to. So feel free to do 50 if you want.
Amen. First service, I like a little competition. First service was talking trash. They said that they would get more kids sponsored than y'all. I don't know. That's just what I heard. That was a rumor. So if y'all don't know how many they did. So
the other thing I want to say is that for those of you who are part of our online family, we really like you to be a part of this. And it's not hard. You can either scan the QR code that you saw online, or you can actually text, and by the way, those of you in-house can do the same, text to 56170, 56170, just type
online.
Whole Life Online, and it will just pop stuff up for you right away, super easy. Now, here's the cool thing. If you do this before 9 p.m. Sunday evening, so we'd love for you to do it right now. Go out in the lobby, get your picture taken. We'd love for you to do it right now. But if you need a moment to think about it, hey, I've been in places in my life where $40 a month meant that I needed to really sit down and think how I was going to structure life. I've been there. And so if that's what you need to do, by all means, go home, think about it, pray about it, and ask what God's doing. But if you do it before 9 o'clock Sunday evening, I'm going to get to see your picture up on one of those lines, and I'm going to get to see your child be chosen. The child choose you.
Yes.
And you also have the opportunity out in the lobby. If you're already sponsoring a child, you can write a letter to that child. If you're going to sponsor a child, you can write a letter to the child that's going to choose you. And Rochelle and I are going to hand deliver those letters. Our suitcases are the literal suitcases we're packing in to go to Guatemala on Monday are out in the lobby. You throw your letters in there, we're going to deliver them. Super excited about this. I'm super excited to see what World Vision is doing. I'm really super excited to see what Jesus is doing through you, because Jesus loves the little children, and so do we.
There's also a Facebook page that goes up, and your photo will go up there. We can kind of celebrate it together as a church community and church family. So, but the QR code's right here, this little thing that you have, you can opt in through that. Then, of course, those of you online, Whole Life Online, 56170 is the opt-in number. But the cool thing is you're hosting a party, Whole Life. You're hosting a party. How cool is that? How many churches? You have to say you're hosting a choosing party in Guatemala on Wednesday. And the children, their invitation to that party is your photo. So the more photos we have, the more children get to come and be a part of that photo. And they're going to see you, and Pastor Ken's going to see you, and they're going to be able to tell stories about you. Pastor Ken, through a translator, is like, I know them. They sit in my church every week. And yeah.
Or the gift of tongues, whichever one.
The gift of tongues,
probably be a translator for me.
Yeah, I think the Holy Spirit's going to work through you.
We'll see. Bernie, is there anything else you wanted to say before we close it out?
I could go on a long time, but we need them to get to the photo booth.
Yep. So Bernie and I will both be out in the lobby if you have any further questions, if you want to know. It's very easy to keep up with what World Vision is doing with the children you're sponsoring and see what they're doing online or on their app. So thank you guys so much for loving kids. I know this church already loves kids, and I thank you for it. And I thank you for prayerfully considering what God may be asking you to do right now. I want to remind you that next week, at 7 o'clock on Friday night, we are going to be having a showing of season one. We're getting way ahead. Season one, episode eight. You see, I'm a little tired, right? Season one, episode eight. The episode's called I Am He. It's about the Samaritan woman at the well, which is very appropriate because while I'm down in Guatemala, one of the biggest challenges most developing communities face is clean water and drinkable water that's close. And so I'm going to go ahead and look forward to preaching about the woman at the well in the context of a community that's down in Guatemala that may be looking for clean water as well. So if you want to watch the episode ahead of time, you can do it Friday night, 7 o'clock. We have popcorn. It's a good time. It's up on the third floor. Be there for that. And I will not be there because I will be getting back around 9 o'clock Friday evening from my trip and trying to catch a couple hours of sleep before I come and hang out with you. And the other thing is, and I can't believe I almost forgot this, 10:45 a.m. next Sabbath morning. For those of you who want to see what's happening in Guatemala, right in the worship center, so during Sabbath school time, I'm going to have a slideshow of the pictures I take while I'm down there, and I'm also going to go ahead and take questions and answers. We're going to talk about how we as a community can come together and not just sponsor individual children, but be a community doing this together. And so I think that'll be really exciting to be a part of, and I look forward to seeing you at that. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for loving us unconditionally. Thank you for caring about us, we who are more vulnerable than we like to admit. Help us to care about the people that you care about. Help us to take care of those who can't take care of themselves and have no way of ever repaying us. Thank you for loving us that way. We thank you so much for your love. In your name we pray, amen. All right, family, I love you. Go love your world.
Hi, this is Randy McGray, podcast producer and host here at Whole Life Church. Loving people into a lifelong friendship with God is our mission at the Whole Life Church, and our podcasts are designed to help facilitate conversations that help us grow together in that pursuit. Now that you've heard the message for this week, don't forget to check out the Whole Life takeaways for this message. Swipe up in today's show notes and join the conversation. Speaking of conversations, each Wednesday morning we take a closer look at the week's message. That's right, the one you just listened to. We discuss practical ways to apply spiritual lessons and ask honest questions about the issues we face as Christians, all focused through the lens of grace. Your voice is a welcomed addition to that conversation. We encourage your thoughts and your questions by sending a voicemail or text to 407-965-1607 or send an email to podcast@wholelife.church. You can find everything podcast related on our website, wholelife.church/podcast. And plan on spending every Tuesday evening and Wednesday morning with us as we bring you the Whole Life Church inspiration you love straight into your headphones. Thanks for listening, and have a great week.